Okay, let's just stand together right now. Pray over this cloth. I think I've got some anointing oil here. This man is dying with cancer, and he needs prayer. I feel the Holy Ghost already, don't you? Let's just pray tonight. You know, if you was dying with cancer tonight, oh, hallelujah, I feel faith, don't you? Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, heal this body tonight. Heal it in the name of Jesus and move the cancer. Kill the disease. Kill the germ, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And heal, oh God, for your glory tonight. Heal, touch that body under tonight. Let the mighty angel of God, Undarama Shandarama Sandarama Nosaya, let him go down tonight, Father, and let him touch him and heal him tonight. God, because the saints believe, Father. Father, because they're believing tonight, we ask you to heal him. We ask you to save him. We ask you to forgive him. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I believe God done the job for us, don't you? Praise God in Jesus' name. I really felt faith. Lay this right out here for the one it belongs to. You can be seated. Appreciate Vernon still being with us. Brother Vince, the others. I want to read a little bit from over in the book of Revelation. Talk with you just a few minutes tonight, if you don't mind. 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, if you've got your Bibles. In the 10th chapter, it is of the book of Revelation. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now, in the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, it reads that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished. As he hath declared unto his servants the prophets. But in the original rendering, I find in my studies that it doesn't speak just that way. This being the translation of the King James Version from the original, it doesn't speak after that fashion. It doesn't say that an angel came and stood with one foot upon the land and one upon the sea. It says in the original text before the translation that a messenger came. And then it says concerning the thunders a messenger came and spoke, then the thunders. The Bible said he had a little scroll in his hand. It doesn't say that he had a book. He had a little scroll in the original rendering. The messenger had a little scroll in his hand. And when he spoke, saying, John, thou shalt not write these things, he said, in the days of the voice of that seventh angel or messenger, he did not say the mysteries of God would be finished. He said the secret of God would be finished. When the angel sounds, then he shall finish, or the secret is finished. It says that in the sounding of the voice of this seventh messenger, when he is about to sound, is the way it gives it. When he is about to sound, then is finished the secret. So then, as I have said in trying to explain here the wonderful things of God, there is a great wonderful thing to be understood in what John is trying to get across. Because even though you and I may look forward to a messenger, or we may say there's some messenger in this age that is the sound of whatever we want to say. We can look at it any way we want to. But it is a true fact that this angelic being was seen hundreds of years ago sounding. John saw him sounding. And John wrote as he sounded. John did not write down what the seven thunders said, but the angel that stood upon the land and the sea said, John, when this next trumpet sounds, then the secrets will be finished. Don't write what the seven thunders said. Don't write them yet. Don't write them down. God apparently was going to give what the seven thunders said. But he was going to intermingle it with the sounding of the last trumpet in such a way that only the spiritual would be able to understand it. Because if John had just wrote it down bit by bit, right there, all separate and apart from the rest of it, perhaps somebody would have understood that God did not intend to understand. So then he said, John, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Now then we say, who is the seventh angel? It's obvious here that these are the seven trumpeters. It's obvious that in the sounding of these trumpeters, that there was a divine intervention between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. And out steps the angel of Revelation 10 and makes his declaration. The reason, no doubt, is because the angel knew that after the seventh sounding, that he would not be able to make the declaration that he had to make. Because his declaration was that time should be no longer. His declaration was that time should be no longer. The angel with the rainbow about his head, setting one foot on the land and one on the sea, lifted up his hand and swore by him that liveth forever, or the Bible, the original rendering, gives it the ages of ages, that time should be no more, or no longer, or time would not be, as in the original. So then, we see that the one that made this declaration had to step forward and say what he was going to say before the seventh angel sounded, or it would be too late for him to make his declaration
because his declaration was the forerunner of the sounding of the last trumpet. It could not be made after the trumpet sounded. It must be made before the trumpet sounded, because the sounding of the seventh trumpet was the declaration of the messenger of Revelation 10. In other words, the Revelation 10 messenger, our angel, was saying time shall be no longer in the days of the seventh angel. He will substantiate what I'm saying. That's what he was doing. So not only was the seventh angel to make known the thunders, but also to substantiate what the angel said concerning the end of the world. So then we see that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the secret of God should be finished. Here, there's a lot that we could say tonight. I might just move along a little differently than ordinarily would, not taking up a lot of time, but there's a lot we could say concerning the secrets of God. You know, the Bible teaches, he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Here the angel declares the finishing of the mysteries in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. The seventh angel being the seventh trumpeter. The seventh trumpeter. But he does say in the days of the voice. Whereas these men, according to the Bible, these angels, there's nothing said about these angels using their voice. It said that they had trumpets and they stood before God and they prepared themselves to sound. And thus they sounded. The locusts came forth. The great battle where the locusts and the horses came forth in their weird appearance. Hair like women, faces like men, teeth like lions, breastplates of iron, all of this weirdness as the trumpeters sounded. And then between the sixth and the seventh trumpet, here comes the voice of the angel of Revelation 10. But there is nothing said concerning their voice. It said they had trumpets and they prepared to sound. Where then does the angel of Revelation 10 get that in the days of the voice? How is it that he uses the terms that in the days of the voice, when it's a trumpet? That could be only one answer that I know of, and that is the Bible says concerning the ministry, lift up your voice like a trumpet and tell my people of their sins. That for to God, speaking of a voice is a trumpet to God. We make a little metal trumpet that we may project sound from our human parts or vocal organs. But God doesn't use a trumpet like that. God uses a man for his trumpet. So then when it says a messenger or an angel, it apparently indicates that somebody somewhere has the ability to make a declaration of God that will be acceptable to God as a message that will bring on the end of time. That is to say, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Is it in the days then of the trumpet of the seventh angel? Yes. But what is the trumpet? It's the days of the voice. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the days of the trumpeter, the secret shall be finished. So then John said the seventh angel sounded. That is, the seventh messenger sounded. And when the seventh messenger sounded, then the Bible speaks of the two prophets. It speaks of the war in heaven. Now the intervention was just before the sounding concerning the prophets. But then come the war in heaven. For immediately when this angelic being sounds, there is war in heaven. Immediately there is war in heaven. And immediately there is a voice that cries out, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. Now, what does that mean? It means that the seventh angel substantiated the declaration of the angel of Revelation 10. For he said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, time shall be no longer. Therefore the voice sounded. And when the voice sounded, according to the Bible, another voice cried out, behold, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. Just according to Revelation 10, just according to the sounding of the angel that God had sent with the rainbow about His head. Here a messenger sounds, a trumpeter sounds, a voice sounds. You say, but who is this trumpeter? All right, notice in the church ages, when he writes concerning the angel of the Laodiceans, he does not write saying unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean. In the original rendering, he says unto the messenger that is in the church of the Laodicean. Write these things, saith he. And then all down through the church ages, it is obvious that he is writing to the messengers of the church. Paul being the one that established the seven churches of Asia. Apparently, the minister of that church, Christ was speaking, saying, unto that minister of that church, unto the voice of that which is in the church, the voice of that messenger. And so then when we enlarge upon it, when we look at it as church ages coming on down from one church to another or one age to another, when we stretch it out over the ages, then we have to go back to the fact that God was speaking through the voice of humanity. God was speaking through the voice of humanity as one message to an age, as one proportional awakening, enlightening, or one voice, one spiritual moving to an age. As we would say, the seven spirits that stood before the throne of God, here they proportionally come age after age. That is, in the sense of bringing forth the voice of God. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then a messenger in the church ages can also relate to a messenger over here in the sounding. The message are of the messenger of the last trumpeter. It was a message. God had given a message. God had given something there. God had given a revelation. God had given an enlightenment. How do you understand what I'm saying? It is such a beautiful thing. John saw the church gone. At the end of the church ages, the fourth chapter of Revelation, he looks and sees the ages of ages sitting upon the throne. Whereas the terms is used, in his hand was a book. In the original it says, in his hand was a scroll that was sealed with the seven seals. So then we see a great spiritual enlightenment. If we get into the Spirit, if we get into the revelation, if we can understand what they're saying. Whereas the terms is used when the seals were open, one of the beasts said, come and see. God uses a different terms by saying one of the living creatures. You say, what difference does that make? It makes a lot of difference. When John saw the beast come up out of the sea, he did not say a beast. He said, I saw a wild beast. To me, that makes all the difference in the world. Here, when that last trumpet tear sounded, and when John looked away and he saw war in heaven, he did not say the red dragon, but he said a fiery red serpent. A fiery red dragon. A fiery red serpent, relating it back to the fiery serpents of the wilderness that bit the children of Israel. These things bring on a great enlightenment to make us understand. When that seventh angel sounded, the Bible said there was war in heaven. I say again, where was the thunders? Where was the thunders? Are the thunders then written in the Bible? They have to be written in the Bible. But you say, God said, John, don't write this. That is true. He said, don't write this. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the secret shall be finished. John, this is a secret. Nobody knows it. You've heard it. Nobody has ever read it. Don't write it now. It's a secret. If I tell you something, then it is a secret. Isn't that right? If I tell you something like Samson told his wife, it is a secret. It is a secret. God told it to John. It was a secret. Now he said, the secret shall be finished when this angel begins to sound. So then, is it written? It has to be written. Why? Because he said in the days of the voice, the secret would be finished. And John recorded the voice. John heard the voice. And John recorded the voice. He recorded the voice, not the thunders, but the voice that made known the mystery of the thunders. How do you understand what I'm saying? You say, but God said, John, you cannot write the thunders. That is true. You say, then, Brother Pike, if you say they're written, the scripture's broken. You're adding to the scripture. I'm not adding to the scripture. I didn't say that John wrote the thunders. The Bible said, write not the things that the thunders said. So then, what did John write? John wrote the mystery of the finishing of the secret that the angel said would come in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. All right, not writing the things that the thunder said, but rather the revealing of the secret or the mystery. For the mysteries of God should be finished. The secret of God should be finished. Therefore, where are the thunders? Notice, isn't it a coincidental thing that here, just as quick as that voice sounds, the Bible said there's war in heaven. Now, any time you look around and you see a great cloud burst, brother, sister, there's war in heaven. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. What did the thunders therefore have to do with? War in heaven. Because it never thunders as a rule unless there is war in heaven. When lightning comes, there is friction. It is caused by electrical friction, according to scientists. It has to be a disturbance in the elements. There has to be some hot and some cold. There has to be something coming together to cause that friction. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Why did he say that? Because as on earth, so in heaven. If there is a spiritual war in heaven, where Jesus and Lucifer ties up, as we say, there has to be a cloud burst somewhere to signify it. If there is a spiritual thing that takes place in heaven where angels fight with each other, then God has to make something natural to show it. And what is that natural thing that God uses? It's clouds, it's storms, it's the friction, it's the war between the dark clouds and the white clouds. It's the war between the hot clouds and the cold clouds. Isn't that right? I would that you were cold or hot. Because you're lukewarm, he said, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. That's what the original says. Because you're lukewarm, Laodicea, I won't just spew you out of my mouth. You know, a lot of times we like to water things down. And I don't mean the translators watered it down. I believe they put it the way that they understood it. But the original says, I will vomit thee out of my mouth. All of the tables of God are filled with vomit. Isn't that right? So then, is it coincidental that when the voice of the seventh angel sounded, all of a sudden there is war in heaven? What makes you believe, Brother Pike, that the war in heaven had anything to do with what the angel of Revelation 10 said? The same thing that makes me believe the first part of it. The first part of it was, time shall be no longer. Right here, as quick as that angel sounds, there is a voice saying, time is no more. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. If he therefore in the sounding is brought to light what the angel said concerning that, why then would he not be bringing to light the other part that the angel said he would finish? It is obvious that war in heaven has a significance concerning those thunders, because just as quick as that seventh angel sounds, there is war in heaven. Whereas just before he sounds, there is thunderings. But just as quick as he sounds, there is war in heaven. And there the Bible teaches that it doesn't say Michael the angel, it says the messenger. There the messenger comes together with Lucifer, and there is a war, and the red dragon is cast out into the earth. There is war in heaven. War. When there is war in heaven, as I say, there must be something natural to signify it. Therefore, if God speaks of thunders, then what does it mean? The Bible says, and there was thundering, and there was lightning, and there was voices, and there was an earthquake. All of these things went together, isn't that right? Apparently, when the bombs start to fall, there's going to be a thundering. There's going to be voices. There's going to be flashes or lightning, friction, electronic streaks. There's going to be something taking place. When that bomb bursts, there's going to be earthquakes. That is going to shake the cities. The Bible said that the cities crumble to the ground. And there was such a great earthquake. So then, so much there after the plagues was poured out in the air as was not since man was on the earth. Oh, such great earthquake. So then when we see these awful things taking place, we know that the end is near at hand. More earthquakes, for the Bible said, in the latter time there'll be earthquakes. More earthquakes may be recorded this year than ever. What is it? They just had one out in California, shook the bridges down. Just had one down in Mexico. Just had one in Algeria. One another place and another place and another place. Great earthquakes. Some showing up on the Richter scale greater than ever before. What is it? It's the end of the world. It's the end of the world. Sin is so great until it's tearing down man's domains. So then the angel sounded, the voice of the seventh angel sounded, and when he sounded, there was war in heaven. War in heaven. This is the thing that we're speaking of now concerning the administration of your new president. This thing that's coming on now, what does it signify? A war. What kind of war? It signifies a war, a turbulence. With every battle, there is confusion of noise. There is going to be some confusion. There's going to be trouble. Why? Because the revelation of the Lord shows it. We ought to be ready. We ought to be ready. Not greedy, not selfish of worldly gain. Not greedy of worldly gain. Not desiring the things of this world, but looking for Christ. Searching for the Spirit. Whereas the Bible speaks concerning the things of this world and the riches of this world. For many in following after these things have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. So the seventh angel sounded. And the Bible said when the seventh angel sounded, there was war in heaven. And the dragon fought and his angels fought. And the messenger fought. And his angels fought. And the Bible said the red dragon could not prevail. Neither was their place found in heaven anymore for him. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Did you know the devil has been in heaven? I tell some of you people a lot of times, I say, folks, you're in heaven. Somebody will say, I don't believe that. I know you wouldn't believe me if I told you the devil was in heaven. You say, Brother Pine, do you mean to tell me that God took the devil to heaven? No, I'm just trying to tell you that the spirit is heaven. And Lucifer was an angel. He is an angel, a fallen spirit. You say, well, is he still in heaven? How can he be fallen? He was in heaven, but he fell into the darkness. And God made him the ruler of the darkness. What is the darkness? Intellectual reasoning. The absence of God's presence. What is light? God's presence. What is darkness? The absence of God's presence. What is light? The presence of the sun. What is darkness? The absence of the sun. Or light, isn't that right? Candle powers, we say. They call the sun so many candle power. So then, the absence of the mind of Christ, that is darkness. Because you have only one reasoning. That is Lucifer's tree of knowledge, reasoning. At the presence of the mind of Christ, you have liberty to eat of the tree of life in the hidden manner. That's the mind of Christ. He that overcometh, I will let him eat of the tree of life. The hidden manner I will give to him. So then it's such a beautiful thing to know that though you were in darkness, now are you children of light. For he hath called you out of the darkness. For you were not children of darkness, you were only called in the darkness. But Lucifer, who is out of the presence of God, Lucifer, who is the spirit of darkness, that is spiritual ignorance, cut off from God, how then does he get back into heaven? I say this again, as long as there is a day of grace, as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, there is in the earth grace, abundance of grace. God using love and tenderness to draw us to himself. For the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. The sacrifice of his son, the giving of every good thing, from the herbs to the stars. So then, as long as the blood is on the mercy seat, people who do not have God, people who do not have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, people who are filled with the spirit of Satan and darkness remains in heaven. People of this world that do not have God are filled with the devil, filled with darkness. And the Bible tells me that they are the children of darkness. And they cannot tell where they go. For the Bible said the god of this world hath blinded their eyes. This darkness hath blinded them, the Bible says. And they cannot see where they go, therefore they stumble in the night. But ye are not children of darkness, ye are children of light. So then as a thief in that darkness will I call upon them in unawareness. As a snare shall the coming of the Lord be upon the whole earth. Why? Because they do not see. For the wicked will not see when good cometh. Therefore they know not the signs of the time. Jesus said, you hypocrites. How is it that you can discern the signs of the weather, and yet you know not the signs of the time? He called them hypocrites, but we're not hypocrites. Why? Because we can discern the signs of the time. Isn't that right? We know that the signs of the time are here, and we know that Jesus is on his way back. We know that. So then we are not children of darkness. That day is not coming upon me unawares. It's coming upon them that don't believe. It's coming upon them that won't listen. It's coming upon them that won't invest their time and efforts in the kingdom of God. It's coming upon them that feel that they're so supreme in their understanding and powers of thinking and ingenuity that they've got it figured out and they know what to do. It's coming upon them because they're procrastinating on God. They're becoming complacent. But oh, beloved friend, it's not unawares to us. We know what's taking place. That day is nigh at hand, even at the door. So then out goes Lucifer. Out goes Lucifer when? When the children of this world have no more age of grace. When the days of the Gentiles are fulfilled, when will that be? When the blood comes off of the mercy seat. Lucifer can live in the heart of a creature of darkness. Lucifer can live in a sinner's life. Lucifer is in heaven because that sinner is in heaven. You say, Brother Pike, you don't mean to stand there and tell me that the sinners are in heaven? I certainly do. And the devil with them. Because the Bible said the devil and his angels fought. And they were cast out of heaven. And there was no more place found for them in heaven anymore. And I say this again. Brothers, sisters, long as you're in a land of milk and honey, to where you can eat and drink and sleep and rest and relax and frolic and have sports and ride. Every time you get a pain, take a shot. Every little thing easy for you. That is heaven, my brother. That is heaven. That is heaven. You say, but it can't be, Brother Pike. I say again, if you ever visit hell, you'll know that you've been in heaven. If you ever go into the flames of fire, you'll know the difference between heaven and hell. You are in a heaven. You are in the second heaven. For Lucifer was in the second heaven. The people are in a second heaven. They've never gone up into the third heaven. God has reserved that for me and you. God has reserved that for the man child. That realm has never been defiled, beloved friend. Paul said, such a one as I caught up into the third heaven. Hallelujah. Why did Paul do that? He was a child, a son of the revelation. Hallelujah. Like the Bible speaks of that man child being caught up. Christ revealed in Paul the man child. Christ in the midst of the candlesticks. Paul in the middle of the churches. Caught up to the third heaven. What does it say in the book of Revelation? Said it was a male child. Doesn't say a man child. Said it was a male child. It doesn't say he'll rule with a rod of iron. Said he'll rule with a rod that's made of iron. A male child. It doesn't say he was caught up. Said he was swept away, snatched away, the Bible gives it, the original. And God snatched him away up to his throne. Praise God, he didn't give the red dragon a chance. He snatched him away. He just took him just like that. Praise God. He took him away when the red devil was sitting there just ready to grab him like that. You say, what was that red devil? I tell you again, it was the blood life. I'm going to say this again. It was the blood life. The second heaven where the church is. The woman that was heavy with child in travail fixing to bring forth a man child. That didn't belong to the second heaven. For the church is in the second heaven. Bringing forth a child. And I say this again. I know the world don't like this. But there was that old blood life. That old spirit of the devil that had gotten in the bloodstream of Adam and Eve, that had defiled the entirety of man's bloodstream. And that's why it was called the Red Dragon. That's why the blood was put on the mercy seat, to make allowance for blood in heaven. Though Christ was holy blood, but it made way. Just like the children of Israel, they were under the blood covering. Blood in the presence of God. Why was that? Because the blood has the life in it. And God found some holy blood. The blood of the Son of God. The Lamb of the evening time sacrifice. And he took it and he put it on the atonement seat to allow life in heaven. And every time he looked at that blood life in heaven, he just looked at that pure blood life. He just looked at that pure blood life. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Every time he'd look, instead of looking at those wretched people out there and the condition they're in, to be merciful, to give grace, instead of looking at their blood life, he looks at that innocent blood life. He started with Adam. Started with Jesus back there. That innocent life, he just looks at it, so he lets them go on living. Go on living. Isn't that beautiful? That even the blood of Jesus for a time gives grace even to those that are out in the world, to give them a chance of repentance. If God so loved us while we were yet in our sins, that he put a blood atonement. While we were yet in our sins, while we're yet in our sins, that he gave his son to die for us. The blood, the love of God. Hallelujah. There he is, the blood of the Lamb of the evening time sacrifice, the great big brazen altar of Calvary. And there's the blood covering, taking care of Israel. And who is the Lamb that was slain? Jesus, Israel. Slain out of the presence of God, the blood of Abel so that Cain could live. The blood of the righteous so that God wouldn't come down in his fury upon Cain. To let the life remain in the blood. No, brother, sister, as long as that blood life is up there, the people of this world can continue. That means the woman is in the second realm also. The church world. And what? Where is the red dragon? You know, we get the beautiful picture, I say again, with America as the world, her foot on the moon, having gone up to the moon. Made her nest among the stars. They call that little thing the nest. Saying, I will cast thee down to hell. Though thou makest thy nest among the stars. The great red dragon. China. Communism. Russia. Waiting to devour the great leader. That America is to bring forth to rule with a rod of iron. And brother, if you don't believe the man that's come in right now is going to rule with a rod of iron. If God spares his life, you just watch and see. And he warned Iran, don't you try to hold those hostages. I warn you not to hold them. Now what is it? The governor among the stars. Though thou makest thy nest among the stars. God said concerning Pharaoh, for this cause have I raised thee up. He raises a man up, makes a movie star out of him, makes a governor out of him, gives him the highlights of the world. To bring him to that great high seat to where he can use him. And then when he's finished with him, that's it. That's it. So then the church world is there. Where is the red dragon? That old intellectual mind of education in the tree of knowledge. What does it say? Come on, church. Let's be a sport. Bring the bulldogs and the red devils. And all of the other teams. Let's be a sport. That old red dragon. That old blood life. That old beast life. Hollering out, come on and mix and mingle with me. Let's be sporty in the world. Let's live it up. Trying to devour the man child. Saying, why you don't have any prestige. You're over across the tracks. Why, come over to this side of the tracks. Be a sport. Get in here with us and get yourself a football team. Get yourself a basketball team. And get in here with the world, the old red dragon cries. Trying to devour that spiritual mind of God. trying to get rid of the mind of Jesus because he knows the power and the authority. You know, in the original rendering, it speaks of those two prophets. You don't say they had power, it said they had authority. They said, by what authority do you do these things, Jesus? So then they're laying in there. The old red dragon, that old carnal mind, that old serpent, Jesus said, a generation of vipers. Laying in there, the fiery serpents with their crooked paws and their wicked tongue, ever gossiping, backbiting, cursing, using all the wretchedness that can be released from the ugly place of Satan's domains. And the mouth of filth is constantly released. Cigarette suckers, all kind of dope addicts, come and be a sport, church. And it lays in there. And every time Zion travails and brings forth a son, it reaches over and grabs it, and it wants it off to college. And the red dragon says, put him in school, or I'll fine you. Put him in school. Run him through college. Let me renovate him. Let me corrupt her. Let me steal her virtues. Let me turn that daughter into a whore and that son into a whoremonger. Give him to me, or I'll lock you up. I'll make a case against you. The old red dragon with his mouth roars on. And every good godly thing that the lady stands for, he's ready there to corrupt. But oh, there's one thing about it. God is standing close by. God has got his eyes on that devil. God has got his eyes on that devil. You ever seen an eagle sweep down out of the sky and pick up a serpent? He'll pick that thing up and he'll make a whip like that and he'll bash his head on the rock. And he'll make another circle and he'll bash his head on the rock. And God's beginning to bash that devil's head on the rock. Did you know that? He's making one circle right after another circle until he bashes his brains out on the rock. He's going to get rid of that old serpent head. Going to beat it down as he did Calvary when he set the thorns upon it. He that knew no sin was made sin that God might have a chance to smite the serpent. The image of sinful flesh that God might have a chance to smite a wicked generation. Thus releasing the sons of God, making the others accountable for the death. In that second realm, there it is. But the blood is on the mercy seat. The blood is on the mercy seat. But all of a sudden, the Bible speaks of that angel taking that little censer, putting the coals off of that golden altar in, pouring in the perfume, as one writer gives it, of the Old Testament, or the incense that went up before God, taking it, casting it down to the earth. And there was lightnings, and there was thunderings, and there was voices, and there was an earthquake. And everybody standing on, there was 30 minutes of silence in heaven. And I really believe with all of my heart that that 30 minutes of silence indicated the blood coming off of the mercy seat. I believe the angels were spellbound. Everything in heaven and in earth, under the earth, realized that the blood was coming off of the mercy seat, stood spellbound and couldn't say anything. Couldn't say anything at all. Because it was the end. And he cast that censer down into the earth. And there was lightnings and thunderings and voices and earthquakes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can't put a time on this. You might as well throw your clocks in the ocean. Time will be no more. That's the trouble now. You're too carnal with your timepieces. You can't time God. God will kill you and put you in a hole. You start that kind of foolishness. So then, what is it? What is it? And the blood came off of the mercy seat. There was lightnings and thunderings. Oh, my brother, my sister, you'll have time to listen then. You'll have time to listen then. You won't be too busy then. You won't have so many things that you've got to do that you can't stay long enough to hear what he's got to say. I'm glad that I settled down to where I can listen at him throughout eternity. I'll be listening at him throughout eternity. It's going to be a grand, glorious day. And I won't get tired and I won't get weary. Because the Bible said the living creatures cried, "Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, holy, holy." And they ceased not night and day to cry, "Holy and holy." They had strength, never getting weak, never getting weary. My brother, let me tell you, in the second heaven, all of a sudden there was war. The angel sounded, the seventh angel sounded, and there was war in heaven. There was war in heaven. What was it? It was the angels of God as they began to fight against the angels of Satan. They began to cross up in heaven. And did you know they're on the verge of crossing up? I'll tell you, the children of God are tired of this doctrine and filth. All of this wilderness, this garbage that these churches are trying to put in their hearts through this denominational wickedness of making a commercial enterprise out of God's house. Jesus turned over those tables and popped those whips and drove those beasts out of there. Not just the cows and the donkeys, as we say, but the two-legged beast that was in there. Drove them out of the temple and said, "As it is written, my Father's house wasn't made for you to commercialize off of, to make dollars and to get rich." Somebody said, "Bless God, I'm for that, preacher. Don't you take an offering, you hypocrite." God wasn't talking about that at all. The house of God is your human body. You've taken God's temple, the human body, and you've made it a place of money changers. And in your brain and in your mind, all you think about is a dollar and security and laying up money and being in comfort, so you can feed your belly. Your belly, you know why you want to feed your belly? He said, "Take the little book and eat it. It'll be bitter to your belly." Why did he say your belly? Because the Bible said, God put the serpent on his belly. All of his labors for his belly. Because his belly craves it of him. But John, take that little scroll. That old beast part of the belly, it'll be bitter to it. It'll be bitter to it. The world is on their belly. And so then, here there was war. The children of God are getting weary. The Bible said Satan shall wear out the saints of God, and then the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom. Brother, sister, we're getting ready to rise. Hallelujah. I believe in the resurrection. Let's rise up and take the kingdom for God. Hallelujah. And we shall rise, the song says, and we shall rise. Hallelujah. We shall rise. Glory to God, we shall rise. Somebody say, "Where are you going? Off into the third heaven." Hallelujah, that man child was caught up to the third heaven. Glory to God, while we're down here in this heaven, we can't rain fire and brimstone down. But the day that Lot went out, God rained the brimstone. We can't rain the brimstone here. We just offer love and consideration. But when we go up into that third heaven, we're over their head then. We can do what we want to. Somebody tell me you love Jesus. He said we'll tread the ashes of the wicked under our feet. Isn't that right? God shall burn them if you've got to go. And you can't stay because your watch won't let you. There's doors on every side. We made it for that purpose. Hallelujah! So then, God is looking down from out of heaven. God is warning you, and God is warning me, and God is warning us. to let us know he won't put up with our bellies. All of our labors for the belly, because the belly craves it of us. A lot of times I say this and you don't want to hear it, but every dollar you make that you don't give to God, you use for your belly. I say this again so that those that's listening can understand. You buy food for your belly, or you buy a bed to lay your belly upon so it can rest so that you can feed it in the morning. Or you buy an automobile to haul your belly around from soda shop to soda shop so that you can feed it. All of your labors for your belly, because God put the serpent on his belly. But the Bible said it was war in heaven when that last angel sounded. Oh, there's war, and I'll tell you, you start preaching messages like this, and there's going to be some war. When old brother Stevens preached like this, they stoned him to death. Started war. Long as you cooing at them, long as you don't bother them, long as you don't say nothing about their belly, they're not going to get upset. But brother, when you start telling them the gospel, I want you to know there'll be war, war. And there was war in heaven. But glory to God, there's one thing about it. The Bible said that Lucifer and his angels went out. Hallelujah. You know, I'm thankful for one thing. God isn't even going to let him stay in the second heaven. Isn't that right? Why, this world is made for us, children of God. God said he made the world be inhabited by the saints of God. He said, I'll pursue the wicked till they perish from off the face of the earth. Their presence is abomination in the sight of God. Their gifts are abomination in the sight of God. He said, your offerings is abomination in the sight of God. He said, your prayers are abomination in the sight of God. I'll pursue you till you perish from off the face of the earth. Isn't that right? Beware, you that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. All nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. America, Germany, Israel, Japan, China, any of you. You forget God and God will turn you into hell. Little Bethlehem, you forget God and God will turn you into hell. The Bible said, my people have forgotten me days without number. Let's don't forget God. Satan sure would like for me to shut up. This is hard on his bones. You know why you say, now the devil ain't got no bone, Brother Pike. You never heard of that old stack of bones? You never heard of them old bones? I'll tell you, he sure has. But we're bone of God's bone and flesh of his flesh. Hallelujah! We're not that old beast. We're God's bones and flesh. Isn't that right? He said, I'll make fat your bones. Hallelujah! So there was war. And when that angel sounded, there was war in heaven because the thunders began to sound. The thunders began to sound. And what did the thunders say? They had a secret. They revealed secrets. They begin to reveal secrets. Why is it a secret? Because the devil ain't gonna get to hear it. Hallelujah. It's just between Samson and his wife, and this time she ain't gonna betray him. Hallelujah. It's God, Samson, this time. It's a secret. Hallelujah. Now has come power. Now has come strength. Hallelujah. Because the accuser of the brethren that accused them before God and in his presence day and night is cast down, beloved friend. He's cast down. He's not in heaven anymore. He can't be there to accuse them. You know the devil's sitting out there tonight. How many know that? You know the church, the devil's sitting out there. The Bible said when the sons of God come to present themselves, here come the devil too. Why the devil came up there too? When you come here, sons of God, to present yourself, why the devil comes too? That old carnal mind that's imitated to God, that old body of the serpent that ain't got nothing but the devil in him or in her, that don't want to do nothing but just got the love of the world, looking for the frolics of the flesh, love for me to shut my mouth. But glory to God, they don't know how to shut it. When he killed Stephen, they thought he'd shut. They had shut the mouth. But my, my. You know, when he dropped Stephen in the ground, he just had started to crop. Amen. All through the dark age, every time he dropped one into the ground, he'd start a new crop. And it just kept springing up. And today they're like the sands of the seashore. They're like the stars innumerable. God said, Abraham, I'll make of you a great nation. You shall be like the stars in heaven for multitude. And as the sands down by the seashore. Hallelujah. When the sons of God came, the sons of Satan came too. And here was Satan. Here was Satan. Were in that old beast body. That old red dragon. But after a while, grace is going to lift. And he'll never hear the voice of the bridegroom anymore. Somebody said, it just takes that preacher too long. Well, I'll tell you what, if you'll just hold on a little while, you won't have to worry. Because the Bible said you won't never hear the voice of his bridegroom no more. And the voice of the bridegroom shall be heard in her no more. You can feed your belly till they put you in the dust. From the dust thou to the dust thou shall return. For he put the serpent upon his belly to eat the dust. And his last trip is down into the dust. And they throw it on him. But oh brother, you won't have to worry about the voice of the bridegroom. You won't hear it anymore. You won't hear it anymore. Right now it's saying, come, let whosoever will come partake of the waters of life freely. It's standing there beckoning to you saying, come, come, let whosoever will come. But oh, in a little while it's going to be shut off, and you people that don't want to hear it, you won't have to hear it no more. You won't have to hear it no more. But oh, sang me a song of Zion. Glory to God, don't let me hang my harp on the willow. Don't put me in a barren land with a dragon's blade. But sing to me a new song of Zion, hallelujah. And the Bible said they stood upon that sea of glass. And they sang the beautiful songs of Moses, of the Lamb. And that song of the Lamb, that song of Moses, that song of Zion. They sang it, hallelujah, they sang it. Glory to God. What is the song of the Lamb? Grace. Grace. The song of Moses is law. Some comes one way, some comes another. Some through the waters, some through the blood or flood. One comes one way and one comes another, but they all come through the blood. Isn't that right? And as the song says, this great caravan keeps on rolling along. It keeps on rolling along. Like the song about the great speckled bird, they'd like to find some fault with their teaching. And if you'll listen, that old voice of the devil, it'll try to show you something wrong with it. But the Bible said it's really, they find no mistake. There ain't no mistake in it. The only mistake is in their brain and in their thinking. So then there was war in heaven, children. There was war in heaven. And what was that war? The thunders, the lightnings. You know, when people begin to mumble, grumble, that's thundering. That's oral thunders. Did you know that? That's in the second heaven. And when they begin to tie up with each other sharp cutting words, that's lightning. What is it? It's a friction. And Paul said, I disputed the scriptures daily. See, they're coming together. Somebody said, I'm tired of that indoctrination. You're bringing that thing, trying to tell me that I know better. And they tie up. And there's thunderings. There's lightnings. And the Bible said, rebuke them sharply. And after a while, the children of God's going to rise and take the kingdom and say, Lucifer, you don't have any right up here. You don't have any right up here. We're the children of God and we're the children of heaven. You don't have any right up here. You don't have any right to have that healing medicine. Come on now. You don't have any right to have that medical knowledge that can help you. And the Bible said, in that day there will be no healing medicines. God will take all of his healing medicines to himself. Won't be any healing knowledge. Won't be any healing medicines. You say, Brother Pike, why them brilliant doctors? Don't you know they'll be able to take care of the case? Ahithophel couldn't. Did you know that man that was David's counselor? His mind and speech was like that of the gods. What he said was like that of the gods. Did you know that? Whatever advice he gave was just exactly right. But the day that he betrayed David, everything that he said, God turned it into foolishness. Until he went and despaired of life and hang himself like Judas. Them doctors will be ready to hang themselves. They'll be so confounded with their misery and the darkness. And the Bible said the beast is kingdom. They'll gnaw their tongues for pain. Won't be no shots to ease it. They'll seek death, but death will flee from them. They can't even get the convenience of the grave. You love Jesus? And the seventh angel sounded, and there was thunderings, lightnings, voices, and earthquakes. Behold, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the Bible said, out went Lucifer and up with the man child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish we had time to elaborate tonight, but the devil is so mad he's boiling like a teapot. He is so upset he can't hardly stand it. You love Jesus? You'll hear about it. Just keep your ears open. Hallelujah! The Bible said, rebuke a fool, you'll get yourself a blot, and you can tell when a fool's with you. Just keep tuned in and you'll hear all about it. But rebuke a wise man and he'll love you and he'll grow wiser. Amen. You love Jesus? A wise man, he'll say, my lands. You know, I was going wrong. That fellow rebuked me and it got me straightened out. He said, where do you read that in the Bible? Paul said, Peter, I blame you to your face because you're to be blamed. Old brother Peter, just as after my, said, thank you, Paul. God bless you for turning me around. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me. We're just fixing to get warmed up. You know, it's so wonderful to talk about Jesus. I remember when the Lord called me to the ministry. I thought, my God, what am I going to say? And now when I go to preach, I think, my God, how am I going to have time to say it all? And then when you get through, like the Queen of Sheba said when she heard the wisdom of Solomon, said the half has never yet been told. Don't you love Jesus? Oh, my brother, sister, why don't you quit your foolishness? You that are standing here tonight, why don't you quit that silliness and that foolishness of living in your little old finite mind, of your human reasoning and feeling that you're important and you understand how foolish you are? My, why don't you wake up, shake yourself out of that nightmare, and come to reality? You love Jesus? God bless you that uses godly reason and godly understanding. You can be a light and you can help folks. Let's live a good life and a holy life and a godly life. And the Bible said, take time to be holy. So, well, I ain't got time. Well, you need to take time. God didn't ask if you had time. You love him? I said, he didn't ask anybody if they had time, if they were too busy. He didn't say, Mr. President, are you so busy you don't have time? You can throw that watch away after you get out of here. It'll be all right. The Bible said time will be no more. Open rebuke's better than secret love. Them that sin rebuke before all that others may fear. You love Jesus? God is so good. Folks, you that are in a hurry to go, you might as well go on out the door. Brother Pike ain't fixing to close. You're not going to put me on a time, make me sin against God and close out the service of God because of your carnal, devilish mind. Satan, you'd like for me to do that, but I ain't planning to do that. I ain't planning to do that. You might go down to the Methodists and the Baptists and the Pentecostals and whatever that's got that kind of system, but we don't have it at Bethlehem. There might be a soul here that needs God tonight. There might be somebody here that needs Jesus tonight. You love the Lord. While he's playing, let's sing this little chorus together. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. All the many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. I want you to come down to the altar tonight while we're singing. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Will you sing it with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. You know, you're great people. People of God don't realize how great they are. When you see the people of this world dying and falling into the ground, just ride down the road and there's a hole over here and there's a hole over yonder, and there's an acre for a cemetery over here and 10 acres for a cemetery over here. See people going into the ground, one right after another. You don't realize how great you are. Sons of God, daughters of God cannot die. They cannot die. They're made to be gods. You're made to be gods. Men and women alike, made to be gods. You cannot die. Gods cannot die. And in heaven they are equal to the angels and they cannot die. Are we in heaven? The Bible said we are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Are we then in heaven? In heaven they are equal to the angels and they cannot die. You say, well, Brother Pike, you said that Lucifer was in heaven. And you said his angels were in heaven. Now what are you going to do about them? We're going to kick them out so they can die. You love the Lord? Amen. Put them out. As long as Adam and Eve was in the presence of that Shekinah, they couldn't die. Isn't that right? But when Lucifer got into their lives, God put them out so they could die. Isn't that right? To get rid of Lucifer. So that's what he's going to do. But you're great. You cannot die. You say, well, Brother Pike, why can't we die? Because there's no way to put you out of heaven. In heaven, they are equal to the angels and they cannot die. There's no way to put you out of heaven. The gift of God is eternal life. What is heaven? The Spirit. What are we then? Quickening spirits. What are angels? Spirits. Angels are spirits. Isn't that right? So then, if you're equal to the angel, that means you are a quickening spirit. You're no more flesh and blood. Not to know any man after the flesh, because you're not flesh anymore. How should I then know him after the spirit? You say, but them people out yonder, how am I going to know them? You know them after the spirit too. That's the spirit of the devil in the human body. See, if you know men after the flesh, you'll judge one to be a great banker and one to be a great president and one to be a great king. You'll get all mixed up and they'll look great when they're not great at all. Don't judge them according to their title. Don't know them after the flesh. Know them after the spirit. What kind of spirit they're of. That's the way to tell them. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? To live forever, to be eternal, to never die. To never die. I'm not planning to die. I'm not planning to die. I said, well, bless God, you better make plans. I ain't got no plans and ain't planning to plan. I'm not planning to die. I'm making all my plans to live. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I can't believe that. That's why you can't live. I believe it. That's why I can live. Hallelujah. Jesus said, a man have whatsoever he saith. I'm making my plans to live. Let's make our plans to live. Hallelujah. I don't want to die to you. I don't care nothing about death. The Bible said death is God's enemy and men death not friends. Anything that's enemy with God's my enemy too. I won't make friends with it at all. Every time it comes around, I let you know I don't like it. Not my friend. Not my friend at all. I don't have any fellowship with it. Light and darkness don't have no fellowship. Death is darkness. I don't want no fellowship with it. We don't have no fellowship. I might say, that's all right. Them others are out there in the hole. There ain't a saint of God out there that's fellowshipping death. Not one. Not one. I might say, where do you get that, Brother Pike? When Lazarus was put down there in that hole, as they would say, the Bible said the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. But the Bible said Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. It didn't fellowship death. It didn't fellowship death. Is that right? We don't have no fellowship with death. Me and him's not friends. We broke friendship at Calvary. We broke friendship at Calvary. How have you broke friendship with the devil at Calvary? With death at Calvary? All right. If we're creatures of life, then God is the God of the living. Isn't that right? If God is the God of the living, let's live. The Bible said God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Therefore, if we are children of God, then let's live. Let's live, children of God. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. And the word means filled up and overflowing. And David said, my cup runneth over. The deep calleth unto the deep at the water spout of God. And my cup runs over. I want you to lift your hands with me now, and I want you to believe as we pray. I want you to believe tonight. You're great people. You don't know how great you are. I know that you don't know. I know that you don't know. But I do know. Many of you don't understand, but you're so great and so mighty. My, as that angel looked there at Gideon, old brother Gideon was so down in the dumps he didn't know what to do. Just despairing of life and couldn't hardly make a good meal, and the enemy oppressing him. And that angel standing off looking at him, knowing that he was a son of God by predestination. And he said, oh, thou mighty man of valor. Looking beyond that problem that Gideon had. Why, just over the hill, the angel saw him subduing the nations. And the angel saw him fighting the battle and his enemy bowing at his feet. Why, just over the hill from that little place of despair, the angel had already seen the plans of God and seen that great victory that he was going to have as that great man of valor when the whole nation would tremble before him. Oh, you mighty men and women of valor. Great and mighty men and women of valor. I see you in the future and I see your victories. And I see your greatness and I see your extensive lives and the wonderful jewel crowns and the glory and the splendor and the radiance to which there is no comparison. You that carry heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. Oh, how rich and great and mighty you are. Don't despair because you feel tired in your body. Don't despair because you feel weary. Don't despair because you've got problems. Because the devil is hindering you on every hand, causing you heartaches and sorrow, don't despair. Lift up your faith, my brother. Lift up your faith, my sister. You've got the power of believing in your life. You've got the power of believing in your life. The world doesn't possess that. But you've got the power of believing. All men have not faith. But you're God's children. You have faith. Taking the shield of faith that you might be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. Ask what you will in my name and I'll do it. Decree a thing in your heart and it shall come to pass. I remind you, though you know these things, Peter said, I still remind you, as long as I abide in this tabernacle, use your faith tonight. Try using your faith. Young girls, use your faith. Some of you got some problems. Young boys, use your faith. Some of you got some problems. Use your faith in God. It'll work. You men, use your faith in God. You women, use your faith in God. Faith knows no age, young or old, as long as you believe. Just believe, my brother, sister. Believe. That's your treasure. That's your power. That's your authority. That's what God has given you. I want you to believe tonight. I want to pray with you and believe with you tonight. God is rewarding me every day, children of God. He's making my cup to run over. He's giving me the desire of my heart because I practice faith. I practice faith. Don't be on the negative side of life tonight. Don't be on the negative side of life. Be positive in your heart. You know, faith in God is positive. Did you know that? Anything outside of faith in God is negative. Anything that you think on in your own thinking and your own plans is negative. But my brother, if you think positive, you think upon the word of God and faith in God. That's positive. That won't fail. That won't fail. Think in God tonight, whatever your problem is. You say, but Brother Pike, I just can't believe God will give me the money to pay that debt. Brother, don't be unbelieving. Don't be an unbeliever. Why don't you give him a chance? You say, but I believed. How long did you believe? 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or a minute and a half, or 5 seconds? Believe. Believe. Peter believed. He walked on the water. He stopped believing. He liked to drown it. Keep on believing, Peter. Keep on believing. You'll keep on walking on the water. You're supposed to believe all day long. Believe all day long. Meditate in his laws day and night. You love Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Somebody say, I get so tired, Brother Pike. I just can't go on believing. All right, let's just sing this little song before we pray. They that wait upon my Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, just to wait. Let's pray together now. Father in heaven, Uramanda Ramandi Alabu Shandoraba Sandoramanaina Ilamakalama Shialramama Messiah. I feel you healing tonight. I feel you healing tonight. Oh God, I feel you forgiving tonight. I feel you blessing tonight. Forgive these sins, Jesus. Forgive these sins. Father, heal these bodies, Father. Confirm their faith. Bring it to pass. Help them to decree a thing in their heart tonight to believe like they never have before. Help them, Jesus. My God, help them to believe. Great men and women of God, help them to believe, sons and daughters of thy great God of heaven and the great King of kings. Lord, let them know that they are daughter of the King tonight, that they're son of the King tonight. And all they've got to do is ask their Father. He's the King. Paves his streets with gold, hangs his gates of pearl, and wants to give his children the desire of their heart, saying, fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. Hallelujah. Bless them. Let them know they're your children tonight. Let them claim their righteousness of Christ. Let them claim their victory in Christ. Let them claim their help. By his stripes they were healed, Father. Let them claim their victories, their salvation, their healing. Father, you said you'd supply all of their needs according to your riches and glory. And they that walk upright before thee would like no good thing, but you'd make them to ride upon the high places of the earth, feed them with the heritage of Jacob. The blessing of the Lord would make them rich and add no sorrow. Oh God, tonight, do it for your sake. Do it for your sake. Help them to believe. I feel some of them getting the victory right now, Jesus. I feel some of them touching God right now. God, their faith is broke loose. Father, their faith is broke loose. I feel it being caught up to the throne tonight. I feel their faith getting loose tonight. I feel them turning loose to thee tonight. God, and it's coming out of the bondage of that old human reasoning and they're falling prostrate at your feet, falling upon you to believe with all their heart, to live, die, sink, or swim, Father. They're coming your way by faith. They're going to trust you by faith. Lord God, you'll never let one of them sink. You didn't let Peter sink. Father, you didn't let him drown. You won't let them drown. As they walk upon the waters of life, make them masters in faith. Tonight, do it, Jesus. May little Bethlehem be such great believers. Father, may they be such great, mighty believers that they will lack no good thing. Let them walk up right before thee. Purify their hearts by faith tonight. Help them just believe. Don't let them go back to doubting. Don't let them doubt. Jesus said, don't doubt. Just believe. Don't let them doubt. Let them believe. Oh God, trusting in thee. Hallelujah. I feel the victory of Christ here tonight. I feel the victory of Christ here tonight. Don't you love him tonight? Don't you love Jesus? Let's sing that chorus with him, can we? Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. I want you to sing it with me again. So I asked Brother Gary to come and dismiss us tonight. I want you to sing that with me again. Reach out and touch my Lord.